أوكي، بسم الله. إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، so the next chapter is hadith number 38, continuing on Iman. It's the book of Iman. Narrated by Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Medina, he stayed first with his grandfathers or his maternal uncles from the Ansar. He would pray towards Baytul Maqdis, Jerusalem, for 16 or 17 months, but he wished that he could pray facing the Kaaba. The first prayer which he offered facing the Kaaba was the Asr prayer, with some people with him. Then one of the people who had prayed with him then came out and passed by another group of people in a mosque who were actually praying, and they were in ruku, they were bowing in the prayer, facing Jerusalem. And he said, addressing them, "By Allah, I testify that I have prayed, or I have just prayed with Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, facing Makkah." Hearing that, those people changed their direction towards the Kaaba immediately. The Jews and the people of the book used to be pleased to see that the Prophet was praying towards Jerusalem, but when he changed the direction towards the Kaaba, then they disapproved of it and would start to criticize him. Then Al-Bara ibn Azib continued, "Before we changed the direction of Qibla towards the Kaaba in prayer, some Muslims had died or they were killed, and we did not know what to say about them regarding their prayers." So then Allah revealed, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ, that Allah would never make your faith, your iman, be lost. I meaning that their prayers are still valid. Okay. So this is concerning the change in Qibla, right? You've probably seen in the mosques, usually, I mean, I don't think there's any basis necessarily for that, but usually at the front of the mosque they'll have an ayah written. Do you know that ayah? They have this made different parts of it, they'll say. Did you know that? Yeah, or sometimes they'll have قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبُ وَجْهَكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. So that was the thing. So the Prophet when they and the companions initially in Medina, they would pray towards Jerusalem, which was north, and then they prayed, it changed to the south. Okay. And any points from that we can get from this hadith? Any ideas? Yes, yeah, exactly. Okay. And do you know why that's important, though? Do you know why that's important? Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, do you know who? Nearly. It begins with an M as well. No, nearly. No. It's the Murji'ah. The Murji'ah. So the Murji'ah were a group, and they had various errors with them. One of them was that they didn't consider actions to be part of Iman. Okay? And there's a lot of history behind that, but we don't need to get bogged down in that, okay, necessarily. Okay. Any other points that you might get from this hadith? That's obviously what Bukhari was using the hadith for. Any other points that you might think of? What do you think about how the companions responded when the Qibla was changed? Yeah, so what does that say? They changed in the prayer immediately. I guess so, yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Oops, it's come back, yeah. But it's interesting that they just responded straight away. So they heard, yeah, they heard, obviously they knew, they would have known that's a companion and he was reliable. So he informed them and they just responded straight away. Nowadays, it can be quite difficult to persuade sometimes that, that you should do X, Y, and Z because of Hadith. But anyway, that's a more of a discussion though. Okay. So let's go through what Sheikh Abdul Razak mentioned. So then he mentioned, so the Prophet's mother side of the family was basically basically related to people in Medina. Okay, so he had relatives, and that was one of the wisdoms why the Prophet migrated to Medina, because he had some family link there. So he stayed at first with his grandfather's or his maternal uncle's side from the Ansar. And then he prayed facing Baytul Maqdis for 16 or 17 months, they're not sure. But he very much wanted to pray towards the Kaaba. Okay. So as he said that Bukhari, he mentioned that, mentions this hadith to show that Salah is part of Iman. It's a branch of Iman, and actions are part of Iman. Okay. Whereas the Murji'ah, they keep actions outside the term of Iman. Okay. And it's in the ayah itself. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. That Allah would never have caused, or would not have caused your iman to go to waste. And from the context and everything we know, and from the background of when the ayah came down, we know that Allah was referring to the salah. Okay. So salah is referred to directly as iman. Okay. So iman. And again, this is important principle of Ahlus Sunnah, that iman consists of belief in the heart, that you truly believe it, you say it on the tongue, so you say La ilaha illallah, and all the other things that you say will be part of iman, the dhikr and salah and Quran, etc. And then actions, the physical actions, the prayer, etc., is all part of iman. And that's important because the different groups from the people of misguidance went astray. So that's why we need to just understand that properly. Okay. So as I said, the Prophet arrived in Medina. He prayed 16 to 17 months. And the change was the second year of Hijrah, second year after Hijrah, probably in the month of Rajab. Okay. And this is the ayah, as I said, which oftentimes is on the mosque. قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبَلَةً تَرْضَاهَا فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. So this was when the command came, yeah? We have certainly seen the turning of your face, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, towards the heaven, and we will surely turn you to a qibla with which you will be pleased with. So turn your face towards the Masjid al-Haram. Okay? So as the narrator mentions, that the first prayer that this happened was for the Asr prayer. The Prophet prayed with some people. And then one of the people in that jama'ah, he was passing by another group, and they were in ruku. So now if you think about this, they were in ruku, facing towards the north, and the imam would have been on that side, okay? And then the Makkah's in totally the opposite direction to the south. So they would have turned in ruku round to the other way, and the imam would have had to come round to the front in ruku, and then they continued the prayer, okay? He just mentions the name of the companion who was called Abbad ibn Bishr or Nahik. But this shows the Khabarul Wahid. So now this is a term which the Sheikh mentions, or which the scholars use, that this is a proof for the validity of Khabarul Wahid. Okay, now what does all that mean? Why am I making an issue out of that? Do you
Only
know? Yeah.
one person is giving the testification, or relating the news, you don't need.
Yeah. So why is that important? Oh, I was gone ahead, sorry. Why is that issue important? Because it does come up in the scholars mention it, and it's did you know the significance of it? Because it's quite an important point, and it's a bit technical, that's why you shouldn't get too lost in the technicalities of it. But do you know why that's important when it comes to hadith? Yes, exactly, exactly. So this is one of the proofs, and there are many proofs that you should accept the Ahad Hadith. Now, what is this about? Okay, so the point is that the companions and the generations after them, they would accept the reports, obviously from a reliable narrator. Yeah, obviously it must be reliable. But if it was one person in the chain, and then the next link, and the next link, as long as they were reliable and the chain was connected, they would accept that. Now, there are a lot of hadith. If you take the hadith books, a lot of hadith are ahad hadith. Now, one of the things that the people of, people of the misguidance, basically the people of bid'ah, they like to lower the importance of hadith. So then they start saying, well, how do you know it's reliable if it's just one person? He might have got confused, or he might have just muddled things up. So you need someone else, or you need two. So they have different grades. So some of them say you can only accept mutawatir hadith, which is like you have to have several chains or tens of chains. And actually, the reason they do that basically is that they want to lower the importance of hadith, and they want to turn people away from hadith, and then they start using their intellect and rationalization or whatever, and then they can play around with the religion. Okay, that's a long explanation, but the point about it is that we do accept, and there are many, many examples of one reporter being accepted by the companions, by the prophet, etc. Okay, there's another important example which you might have had heard of, where the prophet sent someone to give da'wah. He sent one of the companions somewhere to give da'wah. Heard that hadith, anyone?
Yeah, I've
Okay.
heard of
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
it. I mean, I know what it is, but I don't, remember the actual words.
Okay, yeah, but you can tell the story if you don't remember the exact words. Don't worry if you can't. Yeah. So the Prophet ﷺ sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu was a famous companion. He sent him to Yemen to give da'wah. And he sent one person to teach that whole country about Islam, all the rights of Islam. Okay, that's another proof. So these and many, many examples like this show that the Ahad Hadith, or the sole reporter, is accepted, and that's why we accept these hadith. Okay. So then the Jews and the people of the book, initially they were pleased. They thought, oh great, when the Prophet is praying towards Jerusalem, they thought, great, he's following us, or he's following the same Qibla. And then when he changed, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, towards the Kaaba, then they disapproved of it, and they would criticize and belittle the Prophet after that. Okay. So Bara went on to say that the companions who were alive after the change in Qibla, they were concerned about those who died before, whether their prayers were accepted or not. Okay. So then Sheikh Abdul Razak explained that the prayers, when they prayed towards Sham, towards Jerusalem, and when they prayed towards Mecca, that was out of obedience to Allah. So if they prayed towards Mecca before the change of Qibla, that would also have been wrong. So the issue is that they were obeying Allah and the command of the Prophet and the message of the Prophet. Yeah. And that's why Allah says, "Laysa al-birra an tuwallu wujuhakum qibla al-mashriqi wal-maghrib, walakin al-birra man amana billahi wal-yawm al-akhir," and so on. So the righteousness is that we are obeying Allah, we're believing in Allah, we're following what the Prophet said, and so on. Okay. And then he makes another point. He said that the masjids, so he said that at the time when this happened, there were a number of masjids around. There was Masjid an-Nabawi, Masjid Quba, and maybe some other places as well. So all of these mosques would have been Masajid al-Qiblatain. Yeah? They would have had two Qiblas prayed there, the Qibla towards Jerusalem and the Qibla towards Mecca. Okay? So as such, there's nothing special about Masjid Qiblatain in the sense that, because people make it a thing that they specially have to go there and see the place. And he said some people, out of ignorance, they even go there and pray both ways. So they pray towards Jerusalem and then pray towards Mecca. So, but that's just, I guess, out of ignorance. So, but he said there's nothing particularly special about going to Masjid Qiblatain. Okay. So that point. And the Sahaba didn't do that, and no one sort of made it a special point about that. Okay, I think that's all actually. Sorry, it's just a short one this time because I haven't there's been quite a break, hasn't there? So.